Speaking of the movie, this past week we had a movie play here. We had a movie day, family day, and we watched the movie together with the families called Overcomer. And I had my message prepared for this Sunday already a few weeks back, but then Pastor Ken spoke last Sunday, and then it was sort of like we watched the movie. Then I was like, no, you know what? I'm going to change it up, and I'm going to talk about what it means to be an overcomer, and what is overcomer, and how we as Christians, we are overcomers. Spoiler alert for the movie. I do want to encourage you to see it if you haven't seen an Overcomer movie. That was, I think it was, came out in 2019. It was a well done, great story of a young runner. Kind of goes along with our theme, press on. Young runner that did not choose her parents, did not choose her upbringing. She was also suffering from asthma. Her mom, I believe, died from drugs when she was born. Dad left her. She was left with the grandmother to raise her. And the story goes on. She got into trouble, started stealing, doing some bad things. And the story goes on, and there was a breaking point in the movie that I believe is a breaking point for all of us, that we can all apply to all of us sitting here this morning, and for all the people in the world that think they are defeated, or they're not strong enough, or they're drowning in this life. And the turning point was when she realized, this young woman realized who she was in Jesus, and when she realized what Jesus has done for her, and when she realized that there's so much more to this life than just what she knew at the moment. And that inspired me. I mean, there's so many great things in the movie, but one of my favorite parts of the movie is, for those of you that watched it or will watch it, is when she's getting coached in her race, and she has a little thing in her ear, and her dad is pre-recorded something for her, where he keeps on telling her the truth that I think we all need to hear daily in our lives. And the truth is simply, I love you, God loves you, you got this. Yes. Through the race, as she was running through the race, and there was the hills, and there's all these obstacles, and through that race, her dad coaches her, and as she comes to the hill, and as she's going up, and the pressure comes in, and she has to push through, her dad reminds her, I love you, God loves you, and you got this. So that's my topic today, overcomer. And I just want to encourage you with a couple of truths that we'll find in Scripture that are there for us to look at, some of the stories and some of the people that we can look to and say, you know what? At the end of this, as you leave, I hope that you will leave with a new sense of encouragement, that you would tell yourself, I am an overcomer. There's a lot of truths that I think as Christians we have to believe in. And one of them is that we are overcomers through Christ. Because Jesus has overcome, he's made us overcomers. When we have given our life to Jesus, we've put our faith in him, and we confess that laying down our rights and laying everything that we have in front of Jesus' feet and saying, God, my life is not mine, it's yours, I put it in your hands. That moment, exchange happened, and what Jesus did for us became true for us as well. He has overcome the world, and that's the statement that he made in John that I've mentioned before. He said, you can have peace, and in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. Jesus has overcome the world. That means that you and I can overcome the world. So when we go through life, things that we need to remember is that God's Spirit is there in us, with us, always. And no matter what we face, no matter what we experience, we are overcomers. Here's the verse that I want to start with. 1 John 4:4 says this, "Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." We, with the Spirit that lives in us, who's God Himself, are greater than anything that's happening around us. In the scripture, repeatedly, it talks about three things that we overcome as Christians. We overcome the enemy of our souls, the one who's come to destroy, kill, and tear apart. We've overcome the world, and we've overcome the flesh. So those are the three things that repeatedly are mentioned in the scriptures. We overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. And a lot of victories in our life that we are hoping to get, are hoping to experience in our spiritual walk with the Lord, are mostly based on our attitude and how we carry ourselves. I realize that it's how we think, it's what we think is what we become. And the moment that I actually wanted to share on this message of overcoming is the moment Pastor Ken said last Sunday. He said, I believe there was a step, and the fourth one was P, positive mindset and outlook on life. He said that we are to be the most positive, the most encouraging, the most hopeful people on this world. Yes. But why do we sometimes find ourselves that we're not so positive, and we're not so encouraged, and we are down, and we are struggling hard? We, instead of overcoming certain situations, certain problems in our life, we are overcome by them. You either overcome the situation, or the situation overcomes you. So, have you ever been told in your life, have you ever been told, you're an overcomer, you can do this? If you haven't been told, I just want to do a little practice. It's going to take 5 seconds. I just want you to turn to someone that's close to you and just say, you are an overcomer. Good. So if you haven't been told that you're an overcomer, this is the moment that we have all witnessed. You've been told by someone in church, which is where we get encouraged, that you are an overcomer. So here's what I've realized. You become victorious, you become an overcomer in life the moment that you realize who you are in Christ. And with this young girl in the movie, when she realized who she was, when she realized, like the song says that we sang this morning, actually that song was in the movie as well, that I'm a child of God. And it doesn't matter what's going on around me. It doesn't matter where I come from, what's happening. The truth that I'm resting my faith on is that I am a child of the Most High God. And that makes me an overcomer. So, three stories I want to focus on. The first one is obviously the one that we've been talking about for a while. And we're going to talk about today as well, Apostle Paul himself. Who, that man has been through so much. His life, when his life completely changed, he has been through so much that he didn't care about what was happening to him. He knew deep down in his heart who he was, and he knew that he was an overcomer. And even though he was in a prison, he was writing all these encouraging notes, and the best scriptures that were ever written were written from the prison. And then he's talking about things like, you know, I've been through this and I've been through that and all these things. And then he says, comes to the end and says, but it doesn't matter. In Christ, I'm an overcomer. And I wanna focus on scripture in Romans that he wrote to the church in Rome. One of my favorite chapters, chapter 8. And he says this in verse 35. He says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? He says, shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword. As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We're considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Knowing all these things, we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. In another translation, it talks about being an overcomer. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, the present, the future, nor any power, any depth, any height, anything in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that is my first point this morning, is that overcomer is overwhelmed by the love of God. When you know who you are in Jesus, when you know where your identity is, when you know that you're deeply rooted in God's love, there's nothing in this world that will shake you. Yeah, you will experience hardships and you will go through hard times. Apostle Paul talks about a few here. But for us personally, it could be a separation. It could be a loss. It could be grief. It could be anything that we experience in this life that doesn't make us feel great. It was his mindset, and it was the faith that he had in Christ, saying, you know what? All the things that are happening to me at this moment, they don't matter. Because none of these things can separate me from the love of God. There's nothing that you can do that will make God love you less or more. God loves you just the way you are. And you can come to him at any moment of your life just the way you are, and he's going to offer the same love to you and me. And God is always there waiting with open arms, ready for you to come to him and say, oh God, I've tried it all. But really, it's only your love that satisfies. I've tried Friday night beer nights and football nights, drinking. And I've tried going out and doing all these fun things that the world thinks it's fun, and partying and having fun here and whatever the world thinks is fun. I've tried all these things, but every single one of these things leaves me empty. None of it will fulfill me. It is the love of God that fulfills me and helps me realize that I am an overcomer because I have the love of the Father in me, and there's nothing that will shake me. You know, in the scripture tells us, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. I don't want to take that out of the context, but I do want to apply it to what I'm trying to say here. You know, we know this. We've heard about the love of God. And the Jesus Revolution story is all about the love of God and people realizing how much God loves them, how much Jesus loves them. And there's all the things that they were doing at that time, nothing satisfied. It was just the love of Jesus that was overwhelming. And the revival that's happening in the States right now, it was the love that they can experience in their heart that just covered us at all. It just doesn't stop the worship. It doesn't stop the word. It doesn't stop the repentance. It doesn't stop wanting to be in the presence of God. The truth will set you free, the scripture tells us. But I realized that one thing is to know the truth, but the one thing is to actually believe the truth deep down in your heart. You may know, yeah, God loves me. Yeah, I know God loves me. Oh, I've heard that so many times. People tell me all the time. Matter of fact, my neighbor, his name is David. His password, his Wi-Fi is God loves you. That's my Wi-Fi name, just for those of you that don't know. If you come close to my house and you want to connect, God loves you is my Wi-Fi password. Okay, that's not the password, okay? That's the name of the Wi-Fi, okay? I'm not going to tell you the password because I don't want you to come and, overload my internet. But anyhow, so we've heard God loves you, God loves you, God loves you, God loves you. But man, when you fully realize the love of God that he has for you, everything changes. And that's what Paul is talking about. He says, what can come in the way of the love of the Father? Absolutely nothing. He's hanging on He's hanging for his dear life in the middle of the sea in a shipwreck. And he's wondering, is he ever going to make it to the shore? And is this going to be his last day on this earth? And he's talking about the shipwreck, being in the middle of the sea. And he's hanging on this thing, and he's wondering, it doesn't matter if I die today. God loves me. Or he's out being stoned. And this is not the stoning that, you know, when you were, got a couple of stones when you were a kid running around with your friends. I got a couple of those in my head. I turned out pretty good. But, you know, this is not the stoning. The stoning he's talking about is a stoning like the real stones. Like, he's there. They stone you. They stone people to death. But this guy survives the stoning too. And out of all this, he could have just turned around and said, God does not love me. Why would God allow all these things to happen to me? But he says, no. Stoning and persecution and nakedness and sword and hardship and trouble and death, none of it can separate me. For I am more than a conqueror. I am more than an overcomer. And I've overcome the world because I have Christ, and that's all that I need, and that's all that matters. The second thing that overcomer knows is overcomer knows whose battle it is. And a story that came to my mind is 2 Chronicles 20, where Jehoshaphat, we'll call him Jay because I have a problem with his name. But Jay is the guy who is the king of Israel, and he's finally making the right decisions, you know. Too bad, he actually didn't finish well. If you read the story, there's some of the kings that had good intentions, but they didn't finish well. But this was a prime of his life, and he's doing well here. And if you know the story, I won't read the whole thing because it's a long story. But it talks about how Jehoshaphat is just hanging out, and things are starting to look good. And Judah at that time things are looking great, and things are falling into place. And all of a sudden, he's got one of the young guys running to him saying, Jehoshaphat, things are not going well. There's three armies trying to form an army, and they're going to come and attack you, and you don't have a lot of time to prepare. They're coming after you. The enemy is coming. So Jehoshaphat, Jay, at this time, he's figuring it out. What's he going to do? He goes to prayer. He's inquiring of the Lord, what should I do? Is this my battle? Then he goes to the prophets. He's asking them what to do, what's going to happen, and then he gets a word. And the word goes like this, verse 15, and I'm actually going to read the whole verse because I think it's so powerful. He said, listen, King Jay, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem. Now, this is a prophet talking to him. He says, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. And then if you just go on to read a little more, he was saying, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged. Tomorrow, just march down. Here's what you do. Just go and get, fall down on your, verse 18, call all the Judah, all Jerusalem, fall down on your knees, worship before the Lord, and then see what happens. Early in the morning, when they went, he was talking to him. He says, you go worship with your people and see what I will do. And this is how the story goes. They were worshiping. They were so loud. They were praising God. They were thanking. He says they were singing, give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. And as they began to sing the praise, verse 22, he says this, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and all these armies. And they rose up, and they started fighting among each other, and they kill each other. And that was the battle that Jay got, because he didn't do a thing. All he did was just worship. That's all he did. He realized that, you know, I'm just an ordinary man. I don't really have a lot of plans, and I have all these things, and I have enemies are coming against me. Oh, enemy is coming against me, and he's coming, and he's doing this thing, and this thing, and this thing, and he's every single thing that's happening in my life, it seems like enemy is surrounding me from every end. But then he comes down on his knees and he starts worshiping. And he knows that this battle is not his. It's the Lord's. He is in Lord's hands. And he, because he's inquired of God, he's committed his life to God. He put his trust and his faith in God. He knows that he is going to overcome this. And he has overcome it. So, Jay, later on, it says that he had a testimony. He was sharing with everybody. Every single nation that Judah was surrounded by was afraid. And they heard what happened, and they were afraid. And they just, in account, says that a lot of them even believed that God was real because of what happened. You know, the moment you put your faith and your trust in Jesus is the moment when you are put on the hit list of the enemy. Did you know that? You're on the hit list, and the enemy is a bounty hunter. Have you guys ever watched The Bounty Hunter? It's an old one, but it's a good one. This guy is going and trying to get all these bad guys. Now, we're the good guys. And the enemy is trying to come and get, I don't know what you call those that try to get the good people. Call him the enemy of the soul. He's trying to come after us, and he's trying to discourage us. The enemy wants to come into your life, and he wants you to be discouraged. He wants you to be depressed. He wants you to live anxious about what's coming, what's happening tomorrow, how are you going to pay your bills, how this is going to happen, how that's going to happen. And he wants you to wake up with worry, to go to bed with worry, and not even once think that you're a child of God. He wants to take that truth and twist it, and he wants you to believe, no, you see, this is because of all this happening to you. You're not, God doesn't really love you. You know, because you're just facing this, because you just faced this, no, God doesn't have a plan for your life. What are you talking about? What are you thinking? Yeah, just stay depressed. It's okay. It's going to be fine. Look, everybody else around you is depressed. Look at the news. Like, come on. Why? That's what the enemy wants. He wants you to be depressed. He wants you to be defeated, to feel like I don't have enough strength for this. I can't fight this. Yeah, you can't fight this because this battle is not yours. It is the Lord's. We all have battles. You know, I may be standing up here on the platform, but I just have as many battles as you do. Everyone has battles. So don't believe the lie of the enemy that you're the only one that's going through this and you're the only one that's struggling and you're the only one. We all have battles. But we are not fighting for the victory. We're fighting from the victory, from the place of victory. Because we have Christ. We have the Holy Spirit in us. We have this internal peace and confidence that gives us stability as Christians to say, you know what? This is weird. This is a chaos, but I trust God. It's his battle. I'm not going to be discouraged. All that Jay had to do, if you read the text, he just had to be stand still, not be afraid, not be discouraged, but just trust God for what was about to happen. And obviously, he had to worship because he was called upon the leaders. No, you just go worship and see what I'll do. That was a big part of his victory. And sometimes when you don't know what to do, the only thing, if there's the only thing that you could do is you just go and worship God and see what happens. That's what I do. When I don't know what to do, when I run out of all the options and all the logical explanations of what, how, where, when, what, I'm just going to worship. I'm just going to give my life to God, commit my life to God. And if there's anything in me that is not submitted to God and his will, I'm just going to fully resubmit and put my faith and my trust in God. I'm just going to worship. As I worship, I'm going to see God bring the victory. Overcomers know the power of their testimony. Overcomer knows the power of their testimony. Now, the story that came to my mind was David, who was my favorite king, who I was named after. If you didn't know that, now you do. Yeah, my mom and dad were sitting in the hospital. I said this story so many times, but it's a fun story, you know. And my mom had, I don't know what it was some psalm, was singing something, and then my dad said, okay, so did you decide what you're going to name him? Yeah, of course, David. He's my favorite character in the Bible, the worship leader. He's going to be my worship leader. That's what she said, and that's what she prophesied, and that's why I became. Be careful what you prophesy, because it might just happen. But, yeah, so you know the story of David. You know the story of Goliath, and I don't want to go into this whole, but I just want to take one aspect out of this that really is the key. And David is this young boy. He's out in the field, and nobody cares about David. He's just a worshiper. He's tending the sheep. And he got asked by his dad to go take some food to his brothers, because they're out in the battlefield and Goliath is there taunting and, you know, trying to be scary, right? That's what the enemy usually, just trying to be scary and trying to say all these negative things. And who's going to come against me? Whoever comes against me. And then David comes alongside, and in the whole chapter, the whole story is in 1 Samuel 17. You can read it for yourself. But one verse that really stood out to me is this. David says, verse 26, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Yes. Now, David here, a young boy, and his brother actually tried to hush him and said, "What? Shh, don't talk like that. You're crazy." But he goes to his friend, and David is defending himself. He says, "But I just asked. Like, what's wrong with you? Like, who is this dude?" And the whole point of this is David is speaking from the experience. Because David was in the field tending the sheep, but there's a couple of chapters before this where David, that doesn't not mentioned much, and his brothers may not even have known that, but they didn't realize that this little boy was just in a field defending the sheep from a lion and a bear, and he actually defended a sheep. He didn't get eaten by a bear or a lion. He actually killed those two animals, and he knew who he was, and he knew that God was with him. Yes. And he knew that, like I said here, overcomer, he knows the power of their testimony. Do you know the power of your testimony? Yes. For the battles that you have that are in front of you? You know, we all sitting here, most of us have confessed, most of us have come from backgrounds, and I even say it myself. If it wasn't for God, who knows where I would be? I've done some stupid things, and God has saved me from some stupid things, even though I grew up in a Christian family. There's a couple of things that I've done that I'm not proud of. But that same goes for you. I don't know where God has taken you out of. And you, some of you, if I would sit down with you, you probably look back and say, wow, if it wasn't for God, I wouldn't be alive. I wouldn't be here. God has saved me. My testimony is great. Some of you might have just a great testimony. God has saved you from your sins, and that's good enough. God has saved you from yourself, from your pride, from your sins. And because of the testimony that we have, we know that whatever battle that comes in front of us, we can overcome that too. David came and he said it with the knees. Yeah, this dude is talking like this. I can go fight him. I don't even know. I don't even know the weapons that you guys are suggesting. I just need God. I just need God to go with me. And that's what he did when I was in the field with the sheep. And I have faith that this guy is going to go down. Do you have that kind of faith when you're facing difficulties or situations in your life where you can say, you know what? I'm an overcomer because God has saved me from this. God has helped me here. God has provided here. God has healed me. God has delivered me. God did this. God did that. Because of all these things that have happened in my life, I'm an overcomer. I can overcome this too. This too shall pass. I'll overcome it. with the power of Christ in me, with his Holy Spirit that lives in me, I will overcome. That's the attitude that we should have. I'm not a defeated guy. I am an overcomer. Because I have Christ and he lives in me. And I can and I will overcome because his power is in me. And just a bonus one that I didn't put in your notes, but I just this morning as I was the story of Joseph. And overcomers knows that everything works out for good. That's the bonus that we always repeat in this church. That's the mission statement of our church. Second mission statement. Genesis 50:20, he says, you intended to harm me. You know the story of Joseph and all the stuff that he's been through, betrayal and sold into slavery and cheated for a crime that he didn't commit and he then betrayed again. And then he was facing a very difficult journey. He was on a difficult journey in his life, but he was an overcomer. Because he had God and he knew that whatever he was facing at the moment, somehow it's like he knew that it's like he had faith in God. He knew something's gonna happen. And something did happen. God used his gift to make a way to at that time to Pharaoh. He spoke, he was made a ruler. His brothers came. He saved. The nation of Israel was saved because of him. Man, if you're an overcomer, and if you have this attitude, I'm an overcomer, you will know that the situation that you just went through or the things that you are experiencing right now in your life, even though they may not be good, somehow God is going to use it for good. And I believe that Apostle Paul read this because he knew the scriptures. And then he wrote Romans 8:28. He had a revelation in the prison cell. He knew that he was an overcomer. He was more than a conqueror. But then he says, you know what? All the things that are happening to me right now, I know that God is going to use for good. Somehow, somewhere, God is going to use for good. So you may feel like in this life there's a lot of chaos and there's a lot of battles. And you might be in a battle right now. You might be going in a battle tomorrow with people, with circumstances, with whatever you're experiencing. But do you know? Did you know? Or do you know that you are an overcomer? Did you know that? Did you know that the power that's in you is greater than the power that's out there in the world? That you have overcome the world? You overcome the enemy, and you've overcome the flesh. That with the power that you have in you, you can overcome any temptation. And the scripture tells us that God is not going to allow more temptation than we can take. But we can overcome any temptation. We can overcome any sin. We can overcome any hardship. We can overcome anything because... I'll end with this verse. 1 John 5:4, it says this. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. If you put your faith, that's a five-letter word. We've talked about it. Hebrews 11, we mentioned it, that by faith, a lot of people have come from here to here. And by faith, you can come from here, from defeat to victory, if you put your faith and trust in. That five-letter word can change anything because the faith that we have in God can give us the confidence that we can be and we will be overcomers. Amen? You're an overcomer. And you're an overcomer. And you're an overcomer, and you're an overcomer. It doesn't matter what you're facing. It doesn't matter what you're going through. You are an overcomer. Let's just all stand as we conclude this in prayer. I want to pray for you that you would have this new attitude. new attitude of overcoming that you would tell yourself when you leave this place, when you're in a car, when somebody cuts you off, or something happens tomorrow at work, or something happens the week from now, or whatever, month from now, or years from now, when you're facing a difficult situation, you can stand and sit there and you can say, I am an overcomer. Because Christ and His Spirit lives in me. And nothing can shall and nothing can will separate me from the love of God. I know that God loves me. I know that God has a plan. I know that God has a purpose. And I know that God is with me. Even though I may feel I'm alone in this and there's no one that cares. Even though I may feel like, will they ever understand, or will he or she, or will they ever get it? I have God. He's on my side. The battle is His. It's not mine. And I'm not going to believe the lie of the enemy that I'm in defeat, that I'm not good enough, that I don't have enough strength for this. I keep failing, and I'm going to keep failing, and all the lies that enemy wants to, you know, we need to believe the truth. And the truth will set us free. So if you want to be included in this prayer, just raise your hand. I want to pray for you. Father God, this morning we want to believe in our hearts that your truth will set us free. We believe deep down that no matter what we have experienced, you still love us. No matter what we're experiencing right now, you still love us. And no matter what we will face tomorrow, you still love us. And nothing will come against and separate us from your love, Jesus. We're more than conquerors in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. God, you've given us this life. And we want to be careful enough to live it in victory, to walk in victory, to think like overcomers, to walk and speak like overcomers. We do not want to believe the lies of the enemy, and whatever lies have been sown among this congregation from the enemy, in Jesus' name, I just break every lie right now. I speak life, encouragement, and hope. And I pray that as we leave today, we would know that we are overcomers in you by your power that lives in us, Jesus. We give you praise, we give you honor, and we pray for your peace to just cover us. May we walk in confidence, may we walk in peace, that you have overcome the world, and with that, we have overcome the world as well. We have overcome the enemy, we have overcome our flesh, and we are yours alone. Use us for your glory, Jesus. Amen.